Welcome to Simply Us. This is episode 22. I'm Victoria.
I'm Rob.
So today we have a special guest, but we're not going to talk to him yet. He's just going to relax and listen
That's
to us.
That's an interesting way to do that. We have somebody here, but pretend he's not here yet.
Yes, yes. Not that we don't enjoy this guest's presence.
Yeah.
But we're going to give an update on our own life.
I feel wanted.
Yeah. We just like his presence. We don't care that
the
he's
the booming voice over there. You'll find out more about that later.
Mm-hmm.
This week was Rob's birthday, so happy birthday. So are you going to say your age?
I'm 35.
Congratulations.
I've lived for 35 years.
Yes. And this week is our son Leto's birthday, and he'll be 11. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of things, what have you been up to? What did you do for your birthday?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's not true.
I went to a buffet with you guys.
Yeah.
With the family. Otherwise, the beginning part of the day, I literally did nothing.
Yeah, I asked him many times what he wanted to do, and he just likes to stay at home.
And do nothing.
It's an introvert thing.
I guess.
Yeah.
You know, been doing a lot of hours at work lately, and it's been getting frustrating, stressful, so
yeah,
it was nice to be able to take a day and just not do anything at home and just relax.
Well, I'm glad you got that.
Yeah, me too.
You needed that.
Yes.
And the boys and I went to see The Greatest Showman. Mm-hmm. It was a good movie. I loved it. It's now Leto's favorite movie ever.
Well, every time Leto sees a movie, it becomes his yes. favorite movie or his new second favorite movie. We also he just saw WALL-E for the first time last night, and he was like, this is number two, this is my second favorite movie,
yeah.
Right behind Greatest Showman. We're like, yeah, okay, we'll see how
every,
long it
every movie.
Until he sees the next movie, and then all of a sudden that's his new favorite too.
Yeah, he hasn't seen a lot of movies anyway.
No.
So one day we'll find out what his top five is.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
It is. It's nice that he appreciates pretty much everything he sees, but it's kind of funny, like every time, like, this is my new favorite. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. See a few more and then wait a few months on it and then see how you feel about it. Other than that, though, I don't think there's... Okay, apparently I'm wrong. I don't know. What was that supposed to be?
Tonight?
I didn't think that was the kind of thing you wanted to talk about on the podcast.
Okay, I don't want to know what's going on tonight now.
No.
I know.
All right, I'll be leaving.
Welcome, goodbye.
But what you're actually trying to get at is that Justice Network is receiving an award for making great strides in, being innovative, right? Isn't that the actual thing you're getting it for, is being innovators?
Yeah. We stir the people.
Yeah.
For awareness of human trafficking.
Now, is it actually that there's... Do you know, are they specifying anything in particular that you guys have done, or is it just that...
I guess I'll find out.
Oh, okay.
I really don't know. I just know that we won an Innovator Award, and we're accepting it tonight.
Yeah. The funny part is they have to pay to enter to get to the dinner that they're getting awarded for.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of funny.
It's like the old poetry scam where you have to send in your poetry and then
and
pay
then
for the
pay
book.
Pay for them to book to publish
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This is their first time doing this award ceremony. So maybe because they didn't know how many people would be attending, or they didn't have the funds for it, and plus because it's done by the NJ Coalition Against Human Trafficking, and they are a nonprofit, I believe. I actually don't know.
Where is this taking place?
A church.
Oh, okay. Undisclosed location.
Yes.
like government officials or something. Yeah, I don't know. It's still a little bit weird to me, though.
Yeah.
The whole idea of, like, you know, oh, we're going to give you this award for being innovators, but you have to pay to be here to receive it.
I think there's either five or six awards going out, too. So
yeah.
I don't remember all of the awards, but I just know that the first, like, 45 minutes is going to be, like, a cocktail hour.
Hmm.
So maybe that's what everyone's paying for, basically. And then they have a bunch of videos, and then the awards.
Yeah.
For, like, the next hour after that. But
is your admission fee a donation?
Probably.
I would imagine so.
I don't know because I'm not part of that planning committee or anything, so.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But that's what's happening, and that's what has happened this week. And then the only other thing going on is now we're trying to get ready for tax season. And I'm only bringing it up because digital assets are much more of a pain in the butt to take care of than I had expected.
Mm.
And it makes me understand why certain people do the not right thing and avoid...
The not right thing?
The not, yeah. Oh. Why people avoid doing the not right thing.
But you want to be a good citizen.
Yeah, I want to be...
Responsible.
I want to be on the up and up and be responsible. Because if I want to make it a long-term thing, I don't want to not do the right thing now. You know, if I want to be able to keep using digital assets and stuff like that in the future, I want to make sure I get it off on the right foot and start reporting the way I'm supposed to as soon as possible.
Well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. So, other than that...
We have our special guest.
I want to introduce the presence with the booming voice.
If you say so.
Now, she said she asked you on Telegram if you wanted to use your actual name or yes, give you another name.
I am Bolvi the Slender.
Bolvi the Slender.
I'm not going to even know how to say that.
Bolvi
is
the
that
Slender?
Your Viking name?
No, Bolvi is from 12, 13 warriors.
No, is it Bolvi or Volvi?
Bolvi.
Bolvi. Because I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, you know, if I leave one letter out, that's suddenly Volva the Slender. And that's not really where we want to go with that one.
No, Bolvi is like the greatest Viking in 13 Warrior. And he was actually in the History Channel.
Is that Antonio Banderas movie?
Yes, it is. But he's the big blonde guy. He's an incredible actor. He played in X-Files. Don't know his name offhand, but he's just a wonderful actor.
He was really good in that movie. We
saw
that movie
once only. Or maybe twice, because...
No, it was once.
Okay.
Because I thought it was going to be something very different when I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we did see it, I was like, oh, this is interesting.
I wish I could learn a language as fast as he did in that movie.
Yeah.
That would be very fun.
Yeah.
My name is Barry.
Okay.
Who we've talked about a few times in the past.
We've mentioned you a few times in episodes.
Really?
Yeah, you're famous to our podcastlings.
Well, we've never gotten any response about, like, I need to know more about this Barry person.
Yeah, really?
Nobody's ever said that. But.
So, Barry is my brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So, it's nice to have you on here.
Thank you.
And we have a few questions for you.
Okay.
Because you've gone through something that is very inspiring and miraculous.
Okay, I'm ready for questions.
Okay, so we'll just say right off the bat that when you were 34 years old, you had a stroke.
I had a series of mini strokes. I had a stroke that went off a clot in my heart, went to the left side of my brain, and exploded. And then there was a series of mini explosions after that. So it was. Different. I passed out for a few seconds. I was talking to my wife on the phone when it happened. And when I... it was almost like I went through a hard shutdown, like a computer.
Hmm.
And then
when
I woke up again, I had it standing up. I was still standing, but I heard my wife far away.
Hmm.
And the phone was on the ground. It was a cordless phone. It happened in 2008. Didn't really have a cell phone, I don't think.
So 10 years ago. Well,
almost.
At the end of this year,
it was
December
8th, 2008. So that's the day that my life changed.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your life like before this that would cause that?
It was right after the housing crisis. There was tremendous stress, both personally and professionally, in work.
Mm-hmm.
The place where I was working was not doing well after the housing crisis. And we thought, there was other companies that went under, like almost right away. And we thought that, hey, we're going to pick up the business that they're now leaving. But that never materialized.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew a lot of things there at the company. And there was a lot on my shoulders, in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it was stress, a lot of stress. And... it just, you know, all came to a head. That day was a Friday. It happened around 5:30. And I was in the hospital until Sunday around 2 or 3. I was a smoker for 15 years. I started on dip in college. Then I went to cigars, pipes. Then I just went to cigarettes. And then I started rolling my own cigarettes because of prices. The cigarette taxes went through the roof.
I remember when you did that.
That still wasn't even as bad as it is now, so just imagine.
Always licking your paper.
Yep, and it was sort of Charles Dillon mystical as well. Mm-hmm. I love fantasy literature, and a lot of his protagonists have, they're mysterious. They roll their own cigarettes, and they have their little pouch of tobacco, mm-hmm. and I thought it was a neat little thing that I did. And I would drink rum and coke when I got home. As sort of a way to play video games or read or whatever, is sort of watch TV, to just unwind after such a stressful day.
Mm-hmm. Did you drink like a small glass?
Or no, I went through a whole bottle of rum in 2 days.
Wow.
Every week, every 2 days, I'd get another bottle of Ron Romero or Bacardi or whatever. And it was a ton of sugar mm-hmm. because of the soda involved and the grain alcohol.
Yeah.
And, then, after the stroke, I couldn't wait to have another, rum and coke. Mm. And it was sort of like I noticed that my heart rate would go up and I had blood pressure issues. My blood pressure was through the roof when I had the stroke. And so I'm still on blood pressure medicine almost 10 years later. Mm. And blood thinner, like a little baby aspirin, 81 milligram. Mm. And I take other things, fish oil, milk thistle, things like that. But then I had Twisted Tea.
What's that?
Twisted Tea is a hard lemonade alcohol.
It has alcohol.
It's like 5% alcohol. Okay. And then I would notice that my heart, there too, because of all the sugar, mm-hmm. I would wake up with like palpitations. And so I had to quit that. And I quit alcohol for a few years in between. And then my wife had a really bad day at work, and she came home with a bottle of wine. And I was like, I don't think I can have that. And I waited to my next appointment for the doctor. And he said, actually, Barry, I think you should have a couple of glasses of red wine. It would help. It's because the heart disease that runs in your family.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing now, because I became a runner,
mm-hmm.
Is clearing out my arteries constantly and exercising my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, it became a nice relaxing thing mm-hmm. instead of something that I would abuse.
Yeah. Well, they also save a lot of antioxidants and stuff that are in the wine, so mm-hmm. I'm sure that all of that would help just
red
in
wine,
general.
Especially, yeah. White wine doesn't have the same property.
Right.
When you were in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
what was going on to your body?
Well, the neurologist came in and made sure that I had all my motor skills. The reason I went to the hospital, when I had the stroke, my arm moved involuntarily over my right leg when I was sitting down. I said, honey, on the phone, honey, the weirdest thing just happened to me, talking about passing out. And then when I said that, my arm kind of lulled over my right knee. And so I was like, something's really wrong. And so my whole electrical system was messed up. I was setting off fire alarms when I'd walk under them.
What?
I was setting off fire alarms.
How does that happen?
It's a stroke thing, I guess. I don't know. We're electric. We're all electric. And the weird thing was I would walk into Quick Check to get my chocolate milk or my sandwich or whatever. And the middle aisle had a fire alarm above it. I had to start avoiding the middle aisle and going around it because it would just go beep, 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 beep.
Like it was getting ready to trigger.
It would trigger. Not fully, yeah. But the one in my bedroom would trigger fully. So I eventually had to just take out the battery.
Hmm.
And was this for just in the like first year?
It was 2 months around that it would happen. So like, and in those 2 months, I lost some hair. My skin, my wife says, is different than it was. But my mind was different too. It was a big change. I wouldn't get upset at things that would make me upset in the past. It was mm-hmm. just something like you had to train yourself, it's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm.
I think we all saw a difference in your attitude, wouldn't mm-hmm. you say?
Yeah.
You start to really think about the things that matter versus the things that are just temporal or mm-hmm. a circumstance.
Yeah,
that you have no control
over. Yeah, I was going to say, the things that are outside of your control, you stop kind of letting that affect you. Because, we've kind of talked about that a little bit in the past anyway. Just the idea of not letting what you can't control
throw over the edge. It's very important how a person reacts to circumstance because it really shows who they are. If you get upset at the slightest thing, you can't live your life that way. Or at least you can live your life that way until you have a stroke. It's
not exactly going to keep you going very long.
Right. It's detrimental to your health. And, you know, there's the abstract part of physical stimuli or mental stimuli that deters, you know, or that hurts your physical body. And the neurologist kind of, he was a very naturalistic in his way. No, you would have had that stroke whether you had stress or not, because the clot was there in your heart. Mm-hmm. He said, no, I know for a fact that something formed because of the stress. It had to have been stress-related for me. My blood pressure is so high, plus the smoking and the outside factors that I was taking into my body and not filtering properly.
Mm. Right.
And I wasn't exercising. I had historically been thin.
Yeah.
But at the time of the stroke, I mean, I'm almost 6 foot, but at the time of the stroke, I was about 195. And then the day after, I didn't have any more cigarettes. And that was the last day I had a cigarette. And then because I was quitting, my weight jumped because mm-hmm. I was eating to mm-hmm. substitute.
Right.
So I hit about 220 was my highest. And then when I looked at the scale, I looked at myself, and I'm looking down while I'm taking a shower, and like my belly is there.
All of a sudden, you're like, "Wait, I can't see the bottom half anymore."
Yeah, and then my friends would say, "Oh no, you're just thick. You look good. You look big. You know you." I'm like, "No, I look terrible, dude.
You looked kidding? Pregnant."
Wow. But that's when, and then the place that I worked in 2011 went under, and I worked at the auction to clean up the place and to clear it out for the next person that was going to be renting the building or leasing the building. And I decided that 2012 is the year I was going to really get into shape. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I've been running for 6 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you definitely have changed in appearance compared to how big you had been. I mean, your neck used to be so much thicker.
I had a 19 and a half inch neck.
Yeah.
It's like Rammstein.
Yeah, right. That's a big one.
Yeah. When you were in the hospital, how long were you there for?
Almost 3 days.
Really?
Yes, with a psycho who OD'd on coke.
Oh.
Who blew his mind. He didn't remember anything. And the first night he came in, he walked in with the nurses and the police. And he was left for dead by a couple of girls on the floor. And they called it in.
Oh, wow.
Because they were scared that he was going to die.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and says, "I know you." Freaked me out. And so I asked my wife to stay with me there. I didn't want to sleep alone in the same room with this psycho. Be like, look at,
climbing over you at night.
Like, yeah, trying, really.
Like, dissect
hey, I
or
know
something.
You. So, yeah, I was there until Sunday around 2 or 3. And I said everything, as I got in the car, I said, everything's changing.
Mm. I wasn't allowed to visit you.
What?
I wasn't allowed to visit you, or someone told me I couldn't visit you, so that's why I didn't know what you looked like or anything. I was told what you looked like. I was pregnant. I was due that month.
Mm-hmm.
And I had thought that we were in the hospital at the same time. I guess we weren't.
No.
But
you weren't there 14 days later.
Yeah. But I don't... Maybe it was because children were not allowed in the hospitals at that point, and so I had Leto. And I couldn't go with him. And I don't know what it was, but I had wanted to visit you, but I was told I wasn't allowed to.
I had plenty of visitors. I didn't see any children, to be honest with you, now that I think about it. But I don't think that would have been something the hospital could. You know, so I'm sure children would visit their grandparents or
they had something going anyone. On at that point where they were telling kids were not allowed in hospitals.
There was some kind of weird rule, I remember.
Yeah.
That changed within the last couple of years, but there was some kind of rule about
under
children
12.
Under a certain age aren't supposed to go to certain hospitals. Mm. It's
I don't know. Leto did get to visit me after Micah was born, though, for a short time.
But I think that's because that was
maternity,
natal, and yeah, like.
Well, I was fortunate in the fact that we ended up at a hospital that was a stroke center, and that's we didn't know that it was a stroke center. But they were on six people were on me within moments,
oh, wow.
And I had chest X-rays, and I had got the injection that is necessary for stroke. My wife went through all the motor things and the slurred speech. I didn't have anything. And then she told me to smile, and only one half of my face went up.
Yeah.
Another indication for a stroke is if your tongue is puffed up on one side. There's a bunch of indicators. The slurred speech, definitely. You have to be very aware because the person who just went under the stroke sometimes doesn't exhibit the signs.
Yeah, exactly. If it's a light enough one, they won't see it.
And so then I'm sorry.
Oh, no, keep going.
Well, then they gave me, later on, after they took a lot of blood, I was hooked up to the IV, and they gave me all this paraphernalia about strokes, and all the people and pictured on them were old. And so, like, you having a stroke at 34, thank goodness you had it now, rather than something huge build up.
Yeah, like later on.
And have, like, a massive stroke and just die on the spot.
Mm-hmm. How common is it, do you think, for people at that age? Because I'm 34 now.
I believe it's more and more common from the materials that I've read for younger and younger people to have a stroke.
So there's more stress this time.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's possibly stress. I mean, it individual to individual, it could be that they're just burning the candle at both ends, mm-hmm. drinking, smoking, doing mm-hmm. drugs, who knows? Yeah, I mean, your human body is a very good filter and recycling machine, but if we constantly give it toxins plus stress on top of it,
mm-hmm.
and the way people take care of themselves now in this country especially is just terrible.
You know, we keep making up excuses for why, you know, we have to work, like you said, burn the candle at both ends, and then finding those other things, like you said, drugs, drinking, smoking, or all the, that's the release instead of just finding a way to live less stressfully.
You know, what I've found is that exercise is a lifestyle, and mm-hmm. it has its own benefits. Like, you get those natural dopamines or mm-hmm. natural heroin or whatever it is in your brain when you're running. And then when you're finishing your run, and you feel so good that, hey, I did it again. You know, it might not have been the funnest thing in the world to do, but I'm doing right by myself. Mm-hmm. And then after a few months, eating right and running, planking, doing crunches, push-ups, whatever you're doing, sit-ups. Well, that's not really good for you, but for your back. You start to see the physical results mm-hmm. in the mirror.
And it's more encouragement to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I dropped from 220 to about 175. So I usually go between 170 and 175. And
I got you back to that range where you had been.
Yeah, well,
he used to be even thinner.
Yeah, I used to 160. I had a hard time getting to 160 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of my pitching weight when I used to pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So I was athletic, you know, before.
Yeah.
And then from the time 27 to 34, I just went away from sports activities and just sat. And plus, I became a typesetter at work, so I was sitting down. I wasn't running around a warehouse or cutting paper.
Right.
So that had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Where I put on some weight.
Yeah. Just to let people know, you used to work at like an invitation making or...
Yeah, we did wedding invitations, birth announcements, stationary bar and bat mitzvah invitations.
Right. Just because you're talking about typesetting.
Yeah, I've been in printing for 23 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have more questions?
More questions? I didn't have any questions.
I know. I thought you prepared a couple questions.
No. I know most of what was going on. I didn't think about...
Do our listeners.
Well, no, that's the thing.
I mean, I would love to encourage people to exercise, to do better for themselves. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, time goes so quickly. You get older and older without...
Mm-hmm.
My perspective is so different than it once was, you know, where you feel that immortal 20s, mm-hmm. you know, where nothing can touch you. And then, and you know what, the 30s happen. Your metabolism starts to slow down. You can't handle those nights that you used to mm-hmm. anymore.
Yeah.
And it's important to build a good schedule and procedure. Like, so it's my running, I do 3.25 miles. Mm-hmm. I try to do it every 2 days. I don't want to do it every day because I start to feel like a real tightness in my hamstring, or running will expose any fault that mm-hmm. you have in your body. Sometimes you just got to blow right through it and continue to do it, whether it's hurting or not.
Yeah.
But every day can be detrimental. Mm-hmm. You don't want to hurt yourself. So 3 to 4 times a week, 20 to 30 minutes a day is great. You have to have your heart rate at 120 beats per mm-hmm. minute for it to be something that's beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
So walking is great. Those Fitbits and everything, I mean, it's a great thing to have. But really, I mean, unless you can't run or can't jog, I mm-hmm. mean, people have to start somewhere. When I started, I was doing about 8 to 10 laps, so 2 to 2.5 miles, and it would take me forever.
Mm-hmm.
And those people, like when I see those people at that point now, just like, you go, you keep doing it, you're doing good.
Well, that's like where I am when I run, which I haven't run the cold, but just that when I do it, I do the run, then the walk, run, walk, mm-hmm. and it, I could do 2 miles in 23 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good start.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you're out there, it's a good start. And people get down on themselves or they lose that motivation or they have a spouse who doesn't, you know, prop them up and support them. And thankfully, my wife is wonderful in supporting everything that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she participates.
Yeah, she's running too. She does a great job.
Yeah. It's important for all couples out there, and not just couples, but individuals, of course, you know, to care enough about themselves and their bodies that they want to live a long time. And see, that's one of the things that I didn't know if I really wanted until I had the stroke. It's like, you know what? I want to live.
Yeah.
I don't want to kill myself slowly anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I'm glad.
Well, it's funny too, because like you said, you know, when you're in your 20s, you think you're unstoppable. And then even up till the time you had it, like I can imagine just where I am at 35, I haven't faced anything like that. But fortunately, because you had it and we got to see, you know, your perspective change, like I think that maybe subconsciously helped me to get to where I am.
Yeah.
Where like I'm not letting things affect me the way they used to. Like you said, circumstances that we can't change.
You never let.
Well, you're a pretty chill dude anyway, Rob.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I guess the history with my dad too, you know, that was something that my dad had no control over it.
Yeah.
I had no control over it. So I learned, I guess, pretty young to just, there are things I can't affect, you know, I can't change. So why let it, you know,
And for me, it was always like, I watch you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching you. Watch out.
Okay.
And
you in the NSA?
Well, no. No, just
that
watching.
White band that's out there.
To watch both of my brothers do things. I've always learned from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's helped me make healthier choices.
That means a lot to me.
You mean a lot to me. I mean, you guys have been great teachers. Sometimes your failures teach me.
But sure. Your
successes.
From the negative as well as the positive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And your success with this has taught me. So just the where you've become, like how you've become now teaches me. Because.
Well, you begin to cherish each moment even more too when you mm-hmm. know that it could have been taken.
Yeah.
And so even the slightest like turn where someone can control a situation and they decide not to and they decide to act in love instead or just the smallest gesture of a friend it means the world now could take it for granted at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's just where everybody in your life means so much more, and those memories that you have now, I think back to when I was in my 20s, and I mean, long story short, I had a marriage that didn't work. That was like another lifetime ago.
Mm-hmm. It does feel that way.
It does. It feels like it happened to another person almost. And unless I dwell on it, which is counterproductive.
Yes, we don't want to do that.
But I mean, there were good times. I mean, with the dogs and with the cats and the crow and the ferrets.
All the animals. The zoo.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, thinking back to it, I wish I had taken a little more time to just revel in it a bit with the kittens. I mean, I would sometimes. I'd lay on the carpet and they'd be crawling all over me, and I enjoyed being their food god.
Mm-hmm.
or sometimes, you know, I love the woods, and so I would just go in the woods and just lay there.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't done it in a while, and I need to when it gets a little warmer. Because it's funny, because everything's really noisy until you lay flat on the earth, look around and not move. And then all of a sudden, you know, these creatures come out that were kind of hiding before.
Yep.
Because now you're a part of the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And those times when I've had, I go back to them in my memory, that's when I was the most peaceful. When I was taking out the garbage and looking up at the moon and just standing there for 5 minutes.
Mm.
You know, those are the things that I take back from my 20s that I really did right.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I hit my 30s, I lived in a different place without the woods around me. Mm-hmm. And without, because the woods are a reflection to me of God.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. and I didn't feel as close, you know, to all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important to get back in that. And then the running, you know, you run in all nature everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's to go hiking or whatever. It's important to exercise your body and exercise mm-hmm. your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was something that came across my mind while you were talking about running. Wasn't there a time where you started to feel a little limpid so you had to start running? Like...
Well, there was the one day that you were starting to feel like you might have been having something coming on, and you went outside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there have been a few times because of the blood pressure issues mm-hmm. where I, like colors for some reason, I was at this place, excuse me, I was at this restaurant. Dim lighting is, for some reason, it's bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was all these art, there was like orange painted on the outside of this place, and we were outside eating, and I couldn't take it anymore. I had to get away.
God help us, Jesus, God and baby Jesus, help us.
That scared me.
Sorry, that was my notification sound.
I'm going to have to leave that in there.
Oh my goodness. I meant to tell you to put your phone on vibrate before we had
just like the whole idea of like, I couldn't take the orange anymore. God and baby Jesus, help us.
But yeah, there has been times where I've felt, and I actually ended up in the hospital again. But it was, I was looking for a job in 2012, and I had just written this company, and I had sent it out, and I hadn't eaten or something like that, and I needed to take my medicine, and I just got all weird.
Mm-hmm.
And my downstairs neighbor said, "Are you gonna be okay?" It's like, yeah. I called my dad, my mom, and I went to the hospital, and just felt off.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make sure, and the doctor at the hospital called my doctor, and my doctor said, he has nothing to worry about. I don't know what's going on. And the doctor said, all your tests came back fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I just got to be a nervous Nelly about my health a little bit.
Yeah. Well, but then it sounds like it was just one of those days where just being worried about the jobs.
Yeah.
Because I remember you were getting pretty worried about that for a little while.
I wasn't getting any replies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started going, because printing is such a dinosaur, I was like, well, I got to find something in a different sector.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I started to apply at different places.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up back in printing.
Yeah.
I found a niche.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like you said, you did for 20-something years.
Yeah.
You
know, it's my career.
There's value in that, though, because you know it. And I don't think that, despite all the modern stuff that we have, I don't think printing is going to go anywhere anytime soon. I think there are too many people that holding the physical book. Like, there, you know, there's like, I don't want to say it's like a whole Renaissance thing with like hipsters or anything, but I do think that there are people that they will always prefer. I think there will always be people who just prefer having the physical book. And
can I make a short political statement here?
Okay.
Absolutely.
There is some people who don't understand what the forestry industry does. I work with paper mm-hmm. all day. I've mm-hmm. worked with paper for 23 years. The more paper, the more books that I produce, the more trees that are planted.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The industry in other countries might be different. They might be chopping down things in other countries and not replanting them, and the lumber is going to a waste, such as the Brazilian rainforest mm-hmm. or whatever. And that's yeah. valid to be upset about
oh, yeah.
something
yeah.
like that. But in this country, in the Northwest and in Canada, it's an industry.
Mm-hmm.
And an industry will fail unless they have a product.
Right.
Their product is trees.
Mm-hmm.
So when they cut down a tree, they have to replant trees.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So when they say paper or plastic, I'm like, give me paper. Because I'm actually...
It's actually probably better off, because figure paper is actually biodegradable, too.
And I reuse it constantly.
Mm-hmm. Well, plastic breaks down a lot more slowly, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But, I mean, there's just, like, this sort of disconnect with, oh, I don't want to use... Like, in the bank that I go to, it's like, choose paperless. And I'm like, do you understand how much more power it generates for a computer than for a piece of paper?
It's true.
It's coal powered. It's
yeah.
To get the electricity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's just sort of like a disconnect in some people's minds, and it bothers me being in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I want to get a Kindle and read my books online.
Yeah.
It's not helping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I've had the same kind of thing, like you said, with the whole people not understanding the way certain things work together, and you know. Same thing with my industry. You know, in the automotive industry, we always hear about pollution, right? Like about all the different restrictions that, you know, the governments are putting on new cars and stuff like that. And it's just more and more restrictive to the automotive industry. But there aren't very many other industries that are restricted the same way. So whatever good the automotive industry has done as far as trying to clean up its act, you know, there are just as many other industries that haven't done squat to clean up what they're doing. And some of them are probably actually a little bit worse. You know, like I think about stuff like with the electric cars and everything like that. The car, sure, maybe there's no pollution. But, you know, the plants that are generating all that plastic for the batteries and all of the other chemicals for the heavy metals inside the batteries and just other parts of the car. You know, it takes more pollution to generate those pieces. And then even what do you do with those parts afterwards? Because batteries, especially those big heavy batteries for hybrid cars or electric cars, they don't break down. They're not degradable. So the only thing you can do with them is try to recycle them. But then you still have the whole other process of the manufacturing houses, the warehouse, how they have to process that. That's generating a different kind of pollution that we didn't have before we had to do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of things like that. I mean, I understand the 70s, there was a lot of pollution the EPA needed to be created, but we're talking about a completely different thing now.
That's what we do sometimes.
That's what we do.
But, I mean, plastic cars, I mean, steel can be reproduced into a different thing.
Yep.
That's why they crush them, and then
they smelt them down and
take out the impurities again, and then make it a new product. Whereas plastic, you really can't. And plastic, you plug your car into an outlet. That's actually taking coal power to produce.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's just the way it is. I mean, gas is an ancient thing that has to go away. There's better ways to power things than like hydro electric.
Well, exactly.
Water powered cars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even stuff like the CNG cars.
Fortunately, the car industry does try to stop a lot of those innovations.
It's partly because it's very expensive to innovate, and they don't get the proper subsidies from the government. Well, not that I'm saying that the government should give subsidies, but they don't. They're not incentivized to spend the money on R&D to develop these other things. Like, yes, there are companies that have built compressed natural gas cars. They do sell them, but they're really, really expensive because the R&D that had to go into them costs so much. So nobody wants to buy these cars because a car that would be $30,000 on a regular, you know, petrol, you know, fuel system, for $30,000, going to like a CNG version would probably at least $150,000 just because of all the other engineering that has to take place
and
stuff
is
like
a
that.
Tesla?
A Tesla, I think, is 130.
Really? Wow.
I think. It might not even be that much.
That's a mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the other part about it. You know, it's... I mean, the other side of it, too, even, was that we... For instance, at our shop, I just sent you a picture.
He's talking
you as
me.
In her, not him.
Stop it.
He doesn't say my name. We've gone over this.
We know you're her.
We've talked about
I'm
it.
Her. What, my wife...
Well, the downstairs neighbor used to call me him upstairs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she didn't even know my name.
But this past week, we got the first of a special edition Grand Cherokee, which is a super...
At his job.
Yeah,
we
didn't
get
the job.
One.
No, we didn't get one. It's some special edition with a lot of horsepower, most likely pretty bad fuel economy, and it was $99,000.
Yeah.
$99.6.
He showed me the picture.
$100,000 for a Grand Cherokee, a Jeep. Not even like a BMW or like a Lamborghini or anything like that.
It was just a Jeep. How many miles per
gallon? I don't even know, but I'll bet you
it's around... Did they take out a spare tire like a lot of cars probably. Are doing to try to get better gas mileage?
Probably. They get rid of that extra weight so and stuff silly. Like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my tire just went, oh, I don't have a spare.
Yeah. It's... But again, it's one of those things where... Because the government tries to get its hands into things and they try to force people to do certain things, they have to cut... They cut out things that make sense in order to appease...
To try to comply.
Yeah. And... But again, like I mentioned before, there are other industries that haven't been given as strict a set of standards that are probably more than making up for what the automotive industry has done in the last 15, 20 years.
Oh, well, when we get into pollution and stuff like that, I mean, volcanoes do a heck of a lot more than what we can do.
Yes.
There's a lot of natural reasons why, you know, we have... Anything from cow farts in Australia, you get these silly things like to CO2 being a pollutant, and it's, I don't know. There's a lot on both sides going back.
I mean, I don't eat cows for partly that reason,
but
because I'm an environmental person.
Well, to me, if I don't eat it, then they're not making more of it either. So I'm actually helping produce more cows.
Well, you're helping to limit the CO2 or the methane emissions from the cattle because you're eating them. So
no, but that's why I actually do prefer venison. Anything that's not really farmed.
Right. Well, that's the thing too. You think about like wild caught fish or like naturally, you know, like locally farmed. Or I'll say, I don't want to say locally farmed, but locally hunted deer, stuff like that.
Right.
At least you know that it's not something where they were overbred for the sake of. Farming,
right?
You know,
and they weren't gone through some kind of disgusting, inhumane way of butchering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, them were.
Well, they also weren't overfed to plump them up for the sake of the meat or anything.
No antibiotics, no hormones.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're really going off on tangents.
I know,
now.
But it's part of eating properly too.
And
I mean, you have to get.
You're such a great cook.
Mm. Yeah, I did start cooking after the stroke.
Yeah, and you're great.
Thank you. Because I wanted to know what was in my food. I wanted to make my own food. Mm-hmm. Everything from sauce to pasta to pizza to, just whatever. And it's much healthier that way than buying something that's processed. I can't actually eat anything that's processed. I'll be in the bathroom right away almost.
Oh.
I'll know right away if I'm not at TGI Fridays or Applebee's or Chili's or whatever. I can't really eat that stuff.
Mm. Yeah. Well, like you said, it's... There's just something about it that it's like even like the flavoring and everything is just so much better and it's so much easier to deal with. Like like when we went over to your place for the Christmas dinner, like the sauce that you made was fantastic with the ravioli and everything. And that was you said you did all of that, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean that's the
thing. You made the ravioli too.
Yes.
Wow.
Except growing the mushrooms myself.
Well, yeah.
And the onion. But I mean that's why I can't wait for the spring too.
Oh,
so I can do my garden again.
Yeah.
And I mean the rosemary tree will last forever. I can always get my rosemary.
You should help us with our garden. You could have some of it.
Yeah, you're going
We're gonna expand it this year.
Yeah, we're gonna make ours bigger.
You could have a section if you want.
No, I have sections.
I know. But you don't have a big area either
this
for
winter,
yours.
You're supposed to plant garlic. In the winter, so I've already planted that.
We got, 12 onions this year?
We got a bunch.
I mean, we did well with onions.
We thought we harvested everything. We might have mentioned this on the podcast
before. I don't know if we mentioned this part.
But we had harvested... We planted about four or six, something like that. Whatever the bulbs or whatever it is that you call them when you plant them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we harvested, 10... like full heads, like nice big onions. And as we were going through the rest of the season with the tomatoes and the zucchini, we kept finding more onions.
They spread out.
I don't know if maybe at one point when one of the animals had gotten into it,
maybe
they had kind of spread out what was planted a little bit. But up until even the last time we were in the garden, clearing it out,
I found one.
Yeah, there was still another onion, and it was like, where did these even come from? We must have harvested at least 14
onions. I don't
think
an animal would have touched the onions.
Yeah, no, they did not get touched. But I had no idea because there's nothing, grass type of thing
sprouting. Yeah, just as we were turning the dirt,
I would be digging out the dead plants, and like when our zucchini was all done, and I was just pulling those out, and there would be an onion.
Yeah.
But
my wife and I only plant things that deer don't like. Mm. Because we had a problem. No matter what we planted, it seemed they were eating it, especially lettuce. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the strawberries we planted, the rabbits would like feast on it and just like lay out on my lawn. you little jerk. Until the fox came by, I was spraying fox urine on it, and it attracted a fox.
Oh, there you go.
And he winked at me with a rabbit in his mouth.
There you go.
It was amazing. It was so beautiful.
We just saw
two foxes yesterday morning.
Really?
Yeah. I went outside, and I see something scurrying across the street, and I was like, oh, somebody's cat's out. And I'm like, wait. Stops in the yard across the street.
Fox,
I said,
that's a coyote?
No, it was small. It was not even like a foot and a half
tall.
Had
a bushy tail.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But it just stopped across the street and looked up at me and was just sitting there. I grabbed my phone. I'm trying to be quiet as possible. And I'm trigger Siri on my phone. Siri, call Victoria. And all of a sudden, Siri like screams full volume, calling Victoria Tiedemann. Like just like out loud. And so the fox just like looks at me and just gets startled and runs away.
Did he say anything?
No, unfortunately.
Yeah. The fox, didn't say anything.
He didn't go, bap, bap, bap.
No, he wasn't singing to me.
No, and so I saw the female and he saw the male.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
So you're going to have little babies.
I hope so. Maybe we'll see them.
Cool. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Probably foxholes close by.
Mm-hmm.
To bring this into our simplicity thing, now you're sort of into simple living in a way, but without being overly talkative about it.
Yeah, everything in balance, everything in moderation.
Because, you make all your own foods. That's a simple living sort of thing.
That's why herbs are so important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it adds flavor to everything. My oregano is just out of control every year, so I harvest that at the end of the season and in between and give it to neighbors, and there's still more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it just keeps spreading and spreading and spreading. It doesn't ever die. So I have that. I have my rosemary. I have, oh my goodness, I have a lot of different herbs, because the deer don't eat the herbs and the deer don't eat tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So I can make my tomato sauce with the tomatoes that I grow.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't like the leaf because it's bitter. Anything that's bitter, or I plant jalapenos. And
I'm sure they tried.
And they're in for a surprise.
Yeah, it'd be kind of interesting to see what happened after that.
But yeah, they don't really touch peppers. Kale they don't like because that's bitter. Collard greens they don't like because that's bitter.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of potential salad stuff. And if I... Sometimes I'll take my bag to work of my lunch, because I make my own lunch at work, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take my bag, and in between, I'll, take my scissors with me and just cut from the garden and put it in my bag, and that's part of my lunch.
That's cool.
So, yeah, we don't have a TV in the main living area. TV's up in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
It's hooked up. We can watch DVDs and stuff if we want, but we rarely do. We have a record player.
Mm-hmm.
We have scoop chairs for our reading room, and we have like a record player with the books and everything. And it's just as minimal as we can. We have a table and a wine rack in the living room, and where the pantry and the refrigerator are, because we have the world's smallest kitchen.
Yeah.
So the refrigerator is in the living room, next to the kitchen. We have a broom closet for a kitchen.
Basically. Your place is smaller than ours, and we have a 747 square foot home, and I'd say yours is smaller, right?
No, I think the measurements are probably about the same.
About the same.
But we also
but
have
they
the
have
attic.
More rooms.
Yeah, that's
in the
right.
Attic.
The attic is like finished.
The one room is. The other room is sort of a storage area, eBay area, where I can get rid
where
of
you
my
sell
junk.
This. Yeah.
Yeah, where I sell junk on eBay just to get rid of it.
No, it's funny. The first time you came here to our place, and at that point, you sort of expected me to be, like, a hoarder or something. And you were like, wow, this is really nice. Like, it's clean, and there's, like, not
a lot
of stuff.
Well, that's because growing up, you had a room that was sort of, like, all over the place.
Yeah.
And you had the frogs and the aquarium things. And so you always had that, like, humid stink of frogs in your room.
Yes.
So it became sort of the Vicky smell.
Yes, and my hamster and whatever else.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I remember your little curio cabinet that isn't there anymore and the little knickknacks and stuff. And I thought that was cute. And but yeah, we don't have a lot of things anymore. We were going to move last year, mm-hmm. and because of that too, we wanted to get rid of even more stuff.
Yeah, pare down.
Yeah, so we did that, and yeah, I still have some things to get rid of, but they're all up in the attic. You know, just old kid collections of comics and mm-hmm. baseball cards and football cards.
Things you don't actually touch anymore.
Nope, not at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I have an entire big Thor collection, you know, so if anyone wants a big Thor collection.
Yeah, comment simply-us.net, leave in the comments, I want the Thor comics.
All right, there's, okay, I'll sell stuff now. There's Thor, there's Spawn, there's the Incredible Hulk, Silver Surfer.
All the things I used to pretend to make it seem like I wasn't stealing from your collection to what? Read. Yeah. I used to read your Thor and your Incredible Hulk comics.
Iron Man was Iron Man.
Yeah, I used to like sort of keep it up in a spot so I would know that's where it is, and I would take it, read it, and then before you would come home or wherever it was, you were put it back in, and you would never know. And I kept it all nice because you were so particular.
Yeah, I would notice if anything was moved just a little bit.
He is very.
I guess because I have sort of a photographic memory.
Yeah.
So I had like
you can tell when it's moved a lot.
Right. So I mean, that's when I go to the store to
just
buy
an inch,
stuff.
He would yell, "Why were you in my room?
Yeah, why are you touching my stuff?" Because it's the privacy thing, you know? Yeah. And so, like, when I go to the store, I'll have a snapshot of my pantry in my head.
Right, so you're like, picturing what it is you need to get or
yes,
whatever.
Exactly. I just got 4 cans of corn. Mm. Because sometimes my wife likes the can of corn when we have some kind of meat or something like that. Just so that it don't have the corn on the cob can be so expensive and... We don't... The shucks here are terrible, mostly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta go through, like, 12 of them, 15 of them to find one good one without, like, insect bites at the top of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So sometimes just to save time.
I cut those off. Because the rest of it will be fine, and so I'll just cut it off.
Amy does not want me to do that.
Oh, okay.
This is not a corn, though, because she comes from corn country.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Very true.
Well, do you have any last words to say to the listeners that... might be able to learn something. I don't know. How should I word that?
I don't know. Just any last words of wisdom? I mean, I think the primary... I think you kind of covered earlier. Like, the primary point is just, you know, like, take care of yourself.
Yeah, care. See, it's about loving yourself enough to take care of yourself. Not for anybody else, but for you. It's you who are living within yourself. You can't escape yourself. So you might as well make the best of it. Mm. A lot of people get depressed and they get down on themselves and then they start to hate themselves and it becomes a little self 90s Nirvana self-loathing kind of kind of thing. And it's just not worth it in the long run. It's detrimental. I went through all of that, you know, where you don't care. Eh, who cares? Who cares? That becomes the line. Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't care. You know, but we should care because, you know, bad things happen and people around you who you love, to look at the people that you love and to cherish each moment. I look at mom and dad and everybody, we can go at any second. That's what I learned when I had the stroke. 1 second to the next, my heart can stop. Mm-hmm. And so you start to cherish every moment that you wake up and to love yourself enough. That was my water jug.
That's right.
So you'd say that you're definitely healthier in your 40s so far than your 30s?
Oh, my 40s. I'm going to be healthier in my 60s than I am now.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
As you learn, right? Yeah. Like you go on, you learn more about how to take care of yourself. You get more used to your body and knowing what it...
That's the spirit.
Well, that's actually another thing that I would like to touch on, too. I mean, if you look up some doctors that if you're a European descent, you have to eat a European meal. Now I love Japanese food and stuff like that, but there's, I mean, a lot of races that really can't eat a European meal. Mm-hmm. We've substituted because of the FDA back in the 60s, they substituted, took out fat from things saying fat was bad, and they substituted because fat gives flavor. They put sugar in it instead. Right. And so people actually in this country got more obese and more unhealthy than they were.
Yeah.
Go back to fat. Fat is okay.
Yep.
You know, now you don't want to overdo it with sodium nitrates and bacon and stuff, but if you eat some fat, it's a good thing for your diet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were, you know, we have these canine teeth for a reason, in my estimation.
I'm not eating fat. I'm a vegetarian. I'm not eating fat.
Well, if you have an iron deficiency, you need to eat meat.
Well, no, because there's a lot of vegetables that fill that in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
As I grow, I learn for me. Like, I find...
I'm a meatitarian.
I know. And it's great. You know, that's your thing. And
I'm a proteinitarian.
And you're very healthy. And so that's fine. But I find, for me, I'm healthier now than I was in my 20s with how I eat.
Well, I mean, when you were in your 20s, you... I don't know if the listeners need
to
know
this. No, it's fine. They can know.
When you were in your 20s, you still ate like you were 10.
Yeah.
It is true.
Yes.
So anything would have been an improvement.
Well, I've improved a lot now.
Yes.
I'm not having constant chocolate all the time like Dad does then. I have to tell him stop.
Well, he's half rat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, greens are still the new thing for you. You're still working on that.
I'm still adjusting to the palate, getting it used to greens.
And there's a lot of good stuff out there for nutritional. Every diet has its own little fad, it seems. But you need, my neighbor says his food pyramid, the top two tiers are cake and cupcakes. It keeps his joints lubricated. And the guy's gained 1 pound since high school.
So doing something right.
But he's constantly working.
Oh, well, that's different.
Yeah. I mean, just to stay active. Stay active. Don't if you notice yourself after work sitting on the couch and watching TV and falling asleep, you know, that's not a healthy lifestyle.
No.
So I admonish people to get up, and it's not going to be nice at first, but you'll start to see the results after about a month and a half. You'll really start to feel like a different person, especially if you go through the, like I said, running will show all your vulnerabilities in your body. If you blow through like that pain in your ankle and just keep running, every 2 days, it will, you know, be better.
Yeah. Your body will strengthen back up towards it and stuff like that. You know, it'll build its own resistance to
right, because you're building muscle again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of it. And that's why you feel sore. It's funny because with all this cold weather, I haven't been running as much as I should. Because it's sort of like, do I want to get sick? I'm doing this for my health. I don't want to get sick and run in 0 degree weather. Because it takes me about a mile and a half to warm up.
To get ready, yeah.
And so I kind of feel like it could be detrimental. But like I've noticed when I've been running the last couple weeks again, like, wow, I feel sore again for the first time in a couple of weeks because I had avoided the cold so much because it's been so frosty here.
Yeah. Though we had that snap where it was like in the teens
for a month.
Like, yeah.
It got down to 8 degrees Fahrenheit. Or like negative 15 Celsius for those of you who are Celsius degree people.
And that was for a long time. I mean, we were at zero.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, New Year's Day, I was down in my basement because my thermostat went. And I woke up and it was in the 50s in the house.
Yeah, that's we're not used to that. Not inside, at least.
Yeah.
So.
So I would admonish people just to get up off their butt. Do something good for themselves and for the people that love them around them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, this is that one guy who, I always like good stories and stuff about people who get into shape. There was this one guy, he was, said he could get down to 8% body fat, and he was a gambler. And all his gambling friends, he came to the table with like a big, huge piece of cake, and his gambling friends, he was like a Las Vegas, like real big time gambler.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if anyone's familiar with the story, but they put a bet on him that it would take him a certain amount of time to get down to this. And he didn't even know what body fat to say. But he went to some doctors and stuff. And the pictures of before and after are just incredible. He's got these like nice muscles around his hips and stuff. And he just ate properly. I mean, I have a liquid diet at night. I like to juice. you know, with like kale and carrots. And
you don't eat past what time usually?
Well, it's you shouldn't eat 3 to 4 hours before bed. So if you get home at 6 o'clock and you're going to bed at 10, it's really...
It's right on the edge.
You're
of
just
like
going to store it as fat at night. Yeah. Mm. Unless you're burning it off.
I gotta stop eating popcorn at night.
Well, popcorn's fine, actually.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just anything that's
popcorn
heavy.
Popcorn is actually a pretty good substitute. If you put, like, garlic and salt and pepper and some oregano on the popcorn. Turmeric, we do. A little olive oil. That's fat. It's good fat.
So I could do that. I love olive oil.
Yes.
So there we go.
Yeah.
There's my fat.
Just make sure it's mixed well. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have a handful of fat in your hand.
No. Yeah, no.
But, yeah, the liquid thing is good, too, because it's easily digested. It's mm-hmm. not going to be stored as fat. It's all vegetables. Mm-hmm. You know, you can... It's important to have a juicer so you can juice, you know, cucumbers are
I want
huge.
A juicer.
Mm-hmm. Cucumbers, cabbage, kale, anything. Collard greens, carrots, oranges, you know, to add a little flavor if you need it. Mangoes we do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's important to eat right and to exercise.
Mm-hmm. Duh. Kind of the stuff that they've been saying to everybody for
yeah,
forever.
Yeah, so get off your bum and do it.
Well, I wouldn't say it like that. But anything is well, I did say it like that actually. Yeah. Anything is good for you as long as you maintain it. If you do it once a week, it can actually be detrimental.
Right.
But it's important to, it's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. That it's just the plain old fact. It's a lifestyle. Once you start it, it'll be the rest of your life. So enjoy it. Play your music, have your headphones that don't fall out of your ears when you're running. and enjoy getting in shape.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for telling us all this.
I went wrong.
He just said, "You're welcome." In a different language.
In an old language.
Yes, an ancient tongue.
So, thanks everybody for listening. And thank you to our guest, friend, neighbor.
Brother.
Thanks for having me.
And yeah, as we said before, if you want to give us any feedback or ask any questions, you can find us at simply-us.net. And all of our links to any other places you can contact us or find out what we're up to and see the picture of my stack of papers that we're trying to deal with for tax season and everything.
And tell us your story.
Yeah, and if you've got a similar story or just anything, if you're interested in starting a journey like this, you know, we'd be really interested to hear about it. So again, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Ta-ta!